RunAsRadio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 125 with guest Jessica Moss, recorded Saturday, August 22nd, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, my partner in crime, Greg Hughes.
Yep, that's me.
And here we are.
Yep, here we are once again to do a good thing.
Yes, and headed into the fall now, so conference season, not so nice. It's been a great summer.
Yeah, it has been. You know, we get to share, we live, you know, a few hours, well, several hours apart, but we get to share at least a somewhat common seasonal affect as far as these summer type things goes. It has been a very nice summer.
Yeah, both being on the West Coast, that's something at least.
So yeah, it is.
Depends on where you go, and we're talking to folks from all over the place, but this week it's not that big a deal. It's only Virginia. It's not too far away. Let me introduce our guest. Jessica Moss is a Microsoft SQL Server MVP and a business intelligence mentor with Solid Quality Mentors, certified as an MCDBA, an MCTS in SQL Server 2005 Business Intelligence, and, oh, here's a good one, MCITP for SQL Server 2005 BI. I don't even know what an ITP is.
I don't even know what a TS is.
She has been working with SQL Server 2005 and 2008 since their releases and has participated in many warehousing and reporting solutions. Jessica enjoys working with the local community and is a regular speaker at user groups, code camps, and conferences. You can read about her and her work on her blog at www.jessicammoss.com. Welcome, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
I just saw you in Nashville for DevLink.
Yes, we were down there for a wonderful, wonderful conference that John and his team put on. Had a really great time.
It is amazing. It's about 600-700 people at its code camp level show. Attendees paid $100. The lineup of speakers was stunning. But what a great show, just in terms of a buzz and really, you know, into building software and dealing with business intelligence and reporting services.
And you had some of the big names out there who are at some of those more expensive conferences that attended. And I heard people afterwards that were saying it's the best conference they've ever been to.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
I think it's a connection in the people. That's the thing. After doing conferences now for 15 years, there's a buzz. There's when folks are sitting in the hallway talking to each other about a problem, you know, not even in the session, but working with each other. That's really what you're looking for in a great conference.
The conversation.
Yeah.
Those conferences that are, you know, under 1,000 people or under 800 people can be, they have a whole different vibe to them too, don't they?
Absolutely.
Did you get a chance to attend the Open Spaces sessions as well?
Anytime I see Alan Stevens running an open space, I go at least once. I don't know what that guy does exactly, but he has a knack for making an open space really, really work. So I sat in on a couple of iPhone development open spaces, and they were amazing.
I went to a few as well, looking at Twitter, how we can actually use that as a professional means, and what we should say and not say, and just walking into that room and seeing everybody actually involved and talking and communicating was really amazing to see.
And it's important to point out an open space is not just a meeting space. There are rules and some structure around it, but when it's done well, it's really compelling.
Absolutely.
So, talking reporting services, you spending a lot of cycles on 2008 reporting services?
I am. Compared to the 2005 version, I'm pushing a lot of people to make the move up because they made so many improvements in the product that it's really worth it for companies to make the move up.
And isn't 2008 like the mythical version 3 that is always when Microsoft gets it right?
I actually never thought about it that way, but you are right. It is. They made their first release of reporting services as a service pack to SQL Server 2000. So then the second version would have been 2005, And then, you're right, version 3 was 2008, so they got it right finally.
Yeah, oddly enough, it always seems to work that way.
And reporting services is one of the set of different adjunct applications that you get for free, and a lot of people may not know about it, but it comes free with SQL Server, right?
Absolutely. As well as integration services and analysis services. You get all three of those with your SQL Server license. And the exciting thing about reporting services, too, is that if you download the SQL Server Express, the advanced version, you get reporting services as well with that. And that's free, absolutely free for you to use.
The whole thing is free then, huh? That is pretty
cool.
Yes,
it is.
But you do have to own a license to SQL Server.
For the Express version?
Oh, I guess not for the Express version. You don't need to own it, but...
You should be able to just download that and play around with reporting services to your heart's content.
Right, so you don't have to buy a license to play with it. That's pretty cool.
It's just a question of when I go into production, what license do I need to own to run reporting services?
Yes, absolutely. And then you'll have to jump up to another version.
But it does just run on the SQL Server box, right? It doesn't need its own standalone machine. You don't need an extra license there?
Correct. You can put it on your regular SQL Server machine. So if you only have one license, you get all of that wrapped into one package.
So generally when we're talking about reporting this way, are we talking the sort of classic, this is a replacement for Crystal Reports, Active Reports, that kind of tool?
It can be, and that's how a lot of people are using it. When we're talking about reporting services, there's actually a couple of different ways that we can use it. And number one is, a replacement for Crystal Reports. It's going to give you the ability to create your standalone kind of static reports. You get a little bit of dynamic flexibility in there with parameters, but in general, it's something that you'd create once and put in front of the users. But then you've also got a application that comes with reporting services. They're called Report Builder 2.0 is the version we have in 2008. And that gives a business analyst the opportunity to create their own reports. So you've actually gone beyond a little bit more than just a static version.
Right. So users can build reports using this. Although, is that always a good idea? I've had experiences in the past where users manage to mess up joining and run a Cartesian product of 100 billion rows and blame the reporting tool for being slow.
Always got to blame the tool. Come on, it's never a user. It's never a person.
Can I build a baseline report that maybe is just the simple stuff and then allow a user within certain parameters to customize that? Is that a way that we can leverage it?
Absolutely. And that's the way you'd want to manage that. Typically, the first thing you want to do is put the static reports in front of them and let them see what's available before you get them building their own reports and really doing any sort of ad hoc side of things. And then once you go and give them the report builder to create their own reports, it's a training process. You know, start with a few people and introduce them to the tool and let them know what they can do and can't do and really what's going to hurt the performance for them. And even at that point, once you've got a few people that understand the tool, when you introduce it to a variety of other people, then they have a resource to go to as well that they can learn from and really understand how to use the tool the best.
I don't think I really want a whole lot of people in my office building reports. It's going to be one or two sort of key people that know what they're doing and are familiar with it that you lean on for that.
Funny, a lot of the organizations that I'm working at now are leaning towards that. They have an actual reporting group or department team of people who create the reports for the entire organization.
Right.
And then you end up with one team that really knows what they what people are interested in seeing, what the actual values are, what the calculations are that really make up the business points that people are interested in.
Well, this really comes down to the ability to sort of identify the gauges that matter in a business, right? What are we counting or measuring the right things? And are we measuring the right way? I mean, the worst thing in the world can be a report that gives you inaccurate results so that you're acting on incorrect data.
And now we're starting to get into my true love, which is the business intelligence side of things.
Right, right.
Putting all of the data into some sort of a warehouse solution to allow people to report off of it. But you're absolutely right. You need to make sure that the information you're getting out to people is accurate.
So how do you define the difference between these sort of static reports directly off the database and what business intelligence brings to the equation?
Well, we have kind of two pieces that we're going to start with, which is the first set of reports are our operational reports. And these are what people need to use to run their daily business. Things like how many shirts have I sold today?
Right.
I need to know right at this moment what I've sold so that I can then order more or realize that I've got a huge overflow and I need to ship them out to an outlet mall. That's going to be number one. I need to look at these. I need real-time data, exactly what's happening.
And that's really off the OLTP database? Like this is the data as it comes and goes, what my inventory levels are and that sort of thing.
Exactly. Really transactional based at that point is what we're looking at.
Tactical type information, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. What you're going to be doing that day to actually do your job. And then our second set is going to be our business intelligence side of things, which is more trending, analytical, trying to decide based on past information that we have what our information is for making our business decisions. So we'd want to see things like we were talking about the number of shirts that sold, but really we want to see that information for each of our stores and be able to roll all of that information up into certain districts and then also look at it at an entire company level to see where we're going and what we need to do from a management perspective at that point about where we're trying to head.
Isn't this also got a big time component in it? Let's see what this month looked like last year versus this year, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. When you're talking about that, and this is where actually analysis services plays into the side of it absolutely perfectly, is that we're able to compare those different time periods and see what the variance is between those values.
And where does the cube come in? Like, why would I need a cube in all this? Can I get all this data from the transactional database?
It's always possible to get the data from the transactional side of things. When we're really talking about going to a cube and putting that data on top of it, we're trying to, there's multiple reasons, and in no particular order. One of them would be a way of aggregating all of that transactional data up so that we can access it a lot faster than we could from
right.
the transactional side. Probably the number one reason that people go to doing a data warehouse and putting a cube on top of it is being able to bring information from 20 different disparate sources into one location so that users don't have to go digging into all these other systems to find that information.
Right.
And then also the time aspect that you were talking about, being able to do those comparisons over time with variances, with different ways of slicing the data, is something that comes a lot easier from going off of the cube rather than having to figure out how to query and get that information from the transactional side.
Yeah, the way I've often described this when we've been dealing with it was transactional data is organized to write very quickly, take orders efficiently, but not report particularly efficiently, where OLAP data we're reorganizing for analysis. That it's just a different way of organizing the data so that you analyze quickly. But that sort of leads us into this idea of sort of real-time analysis or cube analysis. This reporting services give us a tool for that, that you can do that sort of real-time slice and dice, look at the data, sort of explore your data to find things you didn't expect?
There is an aspect of it that will allow you to, and that's when we get into the report builder side of things. There's a concept called a report model, which is something you create, or when I say you, an IT person would create this model of deciding what components, what entities, attributes they want to show to the user. And when the user sees that model inside of Report Builder, they're able to just do that drag and drop and create the different slices that they'd want to see and run that right there as an ad hoc reporting tool.
And they may or may not actually save this report at all. They're just exploring data.
Exactly.
And then hopefully they find something interesting. And I mean, I'm an old Ralph Kimball fan, and I really bought into this idea that this is an intuition kind of game. You're exploring data, looking for something unexpected, and they're almost tenuous threads. You've got very little time, and the speed really matters here to pursue those threads to find some unique nugget of information about your data.
Absolutely. And when you're trying to put all of it together, when you create your entire warehousing solution and create those reports, that's really what you're trying to expose to the business, is ways to dig in and find those anomalies that they otherwise wouldn't have found.
And is it really an IT person that's sitting in front of that machine, or is this more of a domain expert's job?
I was just recently at a client where we were putting together a model for a data warehouse. And I was sitting in a room with a business analyst, a technical lead, and then an enterprise architect. And the four of us sat down and banged out the information that we needed, how people were going to be looking at it, and what the technical side of it was, how we could actually get that to the user. So people joke about business intelligence being an oxymoron.
Definitely.
But you need to include the business when you're putting together these reporting requirements.
Well, and it's an interesting aspect to instrumenting a business. It's a business decision to say, this is the measure that matters in terms of the performance of this business. It's not always that clear, right? It's not just quote unquote profitability.
Absolutely. And you need to provide the data that they're comfortable with, that they understand, and different ways of looking at it. So part of the Kimball approach that you were mentioning before, they have this idea of a bus architecture where you actually start with a small piece of the business, a certain set of facts, of data that can be aggregated and analyzed, and a certain number of the dimensions, the ways that we look at the data. And we start very small, and we slowly build up. And as your users look at the first piece of data and really dig into it and realize what it is and what they have available, what it can do for them, they will come back and start asking you for more. That's a good way of digging into that.
That's got to be the best case scenario. When your customers come back and ask you for more data, I like this, I need to know this too.
The emphasis on, business requirements as opposed to, what does this technology do for us is really important, right? There's a tendency, at least in my experience, there's a tendency to say, hey, we have this really cool technology, let's find a problem to solve, as opposed to what are the business problems that we're trying to solve and how can we solve those? And maybe that technology is one way to do that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that, us as technologists, we like playing with that new toy, the latest thing that's come out. But we really need to focus on what the business actually needs.
Yeah, isn't reporting right where the rubber hits the road as far as these apps are concerned? I mean, we create our data entry apps and collaboration apps and all these sorts of things. But in the end, the whole point of that was to be able to get a view of the performance of the business, and that comes out in the reporting.
Absolutely. It's the most important part of your applications.
Yeah, and yet it seems like the neglected piece. We put a lot of energy into the other bits of applications, and reporting I don't think it's a fair shake.
Build a data warehouse, and then how do you know what you know, right? You have to be able to find that knowledge.
I agree entirely. It's something that companies really need to work on and focus on, and it doesn't always get what it needs from the company.
So, and when I think about reporting, are we really just talking about printing up pages of paper here? How do we represent this data once we've collected it?
There's a variety of ways. When we're talking about reporting services, the data or the reports are actually stored up on some sort of report manager. And that could be a standalone web page website that we have, or you can incorporate it into SharePoint and manage your reports there. And when you're showing them to the users, you can show them either through that manager, which would be just a regular website.
Right.
Or you can have them embedded into other applications. You could put it inside of a ASP.NET app. Or We can also put it into standalone applications, Windows applications as well, to get that information out to the user. And once they've seen it in their application, they can export it to a number of different formats, Excel, PDF, TIFF. As of 2008, we can export out to Word. So there's a variety of ways to look at that information.
And dashboards seem to be very hip, that especially executives want that, you know, three or four graphic, tiny little summary in the corner of their screen that gives them a sense that they know what the heartbeat of their business is.
Yes, really. And the whole point of the dashboard, putting together all of those KPIs, the key performance indicators, is a way to instantly see where the business is headed.
Right.
What we've got going on today and what we need to do to fix it for tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting to think it's not just about cranking out pages of paper or the old reams of ledger paper to figure out where the business is at. There's better ways to represent that now.
Nope. I tell everybody that I can that I never want to see a report more than 2 pages.
Right.
Period. Yeah. The end. And I always get lots of but. Nope. 2 pages.
Two pages. So, but, how do you roll that up?
Well, if you think about it, when people create those reports with all those reams of pages, what they're doing is looking at the data to find a number of things. It could be an anomaly. It could be, hey, this customer had a purchase for $1 million and normally they only spend $10. That's really what they're looking for. Or I need to find the top 10 stores that sold something this month. So, and what they really end up doing with all that data is looking through all of the records and searching and pulling out that data themselves.
Right.
We don't want them to have to do that. The idea is to figure out what they're actually looking for and just provide that for them.
Call out the fact that this guy usually spends $10 a month and just spent $1 million a month. That's the row in, you know, on the report.
Right, because that's really all they care about. You can get that in 2 pages.
Right. Don't let the human do the collation.
And it really, at this point, you're making your life easier as a technology or report writer person, because the report's going to perform a lot faster, and it's also making the business users happy because they don't have to spend all that time digging through the data.
Do you find with your customers at times you battle with confidence in the data? Like the guy gets the report, looks at it and says, this can't be right?
You're always going to have those questions. And truthfully, because oftentimes it's not right. And it's something, a big part of what I do when I go to companies is to put in place ways of validating that data.
Right.
Making comparisons between previous reports or previous systems and calling out what the differences are. And a lot of times I was at one organization where, as part of our report, we had we were rewriting a really old mainframe application, lines and lines of code, and we were doing a daily comparison and track down the occasional issue. We had to reevaluate what we were doing, but we finally got to a point where whenever we found an anomaly and we'd go back to the original program, we'd find out that program had occasionally missed a piece of conditional logic and it was falling through.
Right. You're actually finding errors in the old system.
Exactly. Exactly. So, it's definitely something to keep in mind, but it may not be you.
Well, it's a good place to get to, but I've certainly dealt with organizations where confidence level in the reporting was so low that they would invariably drill the data themselves, essentially trying to find their own reporting solutions. It's a grim place to be. Are there elements of reporting services we haven't talked about yet?
Wow. Well, just recently they released the new R2 for 2008 coming out, the August CTP, which is really exciting. So there are a few things coming out with that I think people will be thrilled to have inside of their reports. Probably the first one would be the map image component that they included, which we actually had seen this in the 2008 CTPs, but they weren't able to get it included in that version. So they've got it in now, and it allows you to tie existing data that you have to spatial points and show that information graphically on a map inside of your report. So that's going to be really interesting to see.
And earlier in the year, we did a show around spatial data in SQL Server, but never really talked about the reporting side of this. So R2 gives us good reporting against spatial data. I can actually include on my report a map of an area with all the locations of new customers, that kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. And you can tie that into your geospatial data, or if you have straight data from a database where you have those values listed, you can tie those in as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, and geospatial opens up huge doors there. I mean, I remember when we talked to Bob Boschman about this, it wasn't just about dealing with map services and lat longs, but also geometry, like the lots or, say, areas for mining. It's a really complicated chunk of equations, and reporting on it's got to be a bear. It's just not an easy thing to do when you're dealing with a very odd set of groupings.
Absolutely. So now hopefully with the R2 version, we're going to be able to see that data a lot easier.
Anything else in R2 we should know about?
We've got a whole new look and feel about a few things. I went and took the report manager and made it look a lot like SharePoint. So it'll be easier on a management perspective to see all of that information there, which is great because it was in need of an overhaul from a view perspective.
Sure.
So those are just a few of the things that are included.
Where does the relationship between reporting services and SharePoint? Do they work and play well with each other?
They are getting better.
Ah, very nice. How polite of you.
There is a reporting services SharePoint integrated mode, which is they tie directly together. And you do most of your management and viewing in SharePoint. And then there's also a native mode, which is report manager is going to store its data inside a SQL Server, but you can still show it inside of SharePoint.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Yep.
I guess the question here is that only used in scenarios where you have a significant SharePoint deployment already and you want to include reporting services, or is this a feature that would move a customer to SharePoint because it's a better way to view reporting?
In my opinion, I would say if you do not have a SharePoint instance at this time, do not purchase it just for reporting services. It's not necessary.
That's fair. And the standalone works just fine. It's really about dealing with existing SharePoint infrastructure.
Correct.
All right.
If we're talking about SharePoint related to reporting services, are we talking about WSS or SharePoint Server, or are we talking about the portal, SharePoint portal, full-blown product? Yeah, Moss. There you go. Thanks.
Oh, when you're talking about doing the integrated mode, all you need is WSS to actually put that in place. So that'll give you that central administration aspect still. So either
gotcha.
One.
Okay. So the expense, I mean, that of course, that comes along with the Windows Server license. So, but certainly the Moss license is a whole different deal, right?
Correct. Moss is going to be that enterprise, all the portal and extra aspects included.
Yeah, it's that whole Office element to it. It's an expensive product at that point. So if you don't really need it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. Well, I think we're getting towards the end of the show here, Jessica. Anything we've missed that we should let the people know about?
I think we covered a really good amount over this time period.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How big of a role is the developer in working with reporting services? Do you need them at certain places?
It depends.
Oh, nice.
I was hoping I was going to get through the whole show without saying that, but I had to put it in there. It's really an organizational decision to make of how you've split out who does the development versus the report writing, where the business users lie,
right.
How easily to go back and forth there. There's going to always be a little bit, but how much the developer has to be involved in reporting really depends on your organization.
Okay. So, but there definitely is a role for the developer in reporting services. It's just a question of how far you want to go with that.
Exactly.
All right. And we're not just talking about integration into an application, but part of report building can involve devs?
Yes, mainly because, and when I say there's always going to be a little bit, is that if you have this entirely separate team that's building reports, invariably there's going to be a point where they're going to say, this crazy calculation that I need to make, how do I do that in here? And you can either write it in code inside of the report directly, or try to pull that calculation out into the database layer.
Right.
So along those lines, when we start getting into some of the more complex things.
And this comes down to what talent you've got in your organization. If you've got a guy who's a genius with T-SQL, you could probably bury that equation inside SQL Server. But if you've got a couple of good .NET guys, maybe they can write that equation there.
Absolutely.
All right. Jessica, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jessica.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.